This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
I love the air. The air just sounds like a fairly new thing, Richard. I'm kind of digging on it.
I love it.
All right.
I'm bringing the real one.
I am excited today because, first and foremost, just in case you guys didn't know this, I am a Jew. And did you know I'm a Jew, by the way, Yoram? Did you know that?
I did not know.
So I have one of my people here. So this is the first time that I can remember that we're kind of on an even playing field right now.
Good thing the show wasn't yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
You don't know what happened yesterday?
I tried to stay. Oh, what was that? That was
I don't know. It goes hand in hand. I actually stick with the subject.
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. Exactly. And that's the day. That is my day. That's the Day of Atonement. That is like.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's your birthday.
It should be my birthday. Wait, that's a really good question. All right. So, Mary Goulet, Richard Tay. Wait, was hanging out over there somewhere. Steve was hanging out with Yoram Balti.
Just halfway there.
Mr. B.
Baltinesto.
Baltinest. Really? Okay. There you go. See, I would never have said it like that. And that's the thing. We talked about names before, Hurricane Matthew and so on. And it's the accent. Do you think, Mary Goulet, accent? Yes. Sexy? Not sexy? What's your take on that?
Depends on the accent.
This accent, Jewish accent, a Hebrew accent?
Yeah, better sexy than Boston by far.
Really? So that's interesting. Rich, if you had to pick from a female perspective, which accent is sexiest?
Which one do you make Siri?
Oh, Latin ones, other than Trish.
Trish's accent.
She has
an accent?
No.
Oh.
I just love her voice.
Oh, you do?
So Trish has the world's
Latin.
Sexiest voice.
I'd say Latin.
And second to that would be
Latin.
Yeah, I gotcha. So if you had to pick, Yoram, between all of the ladies of the world and their respective accents, sexiest accent in the world. What do you think?
My wife.
Your wife? And she's from Germany?
She's Germany. Israeli.
Yeah, no. There's nothing sexy. You know? That's like, I think on the scale of like sexiness.
No, my
like,
wife is not German, not at all. Absolutely not.
It's like the least sexy accent, I think, on the planet. And I think in the scheme of things, probably I would say Latin America too. It's something about the R's. I think when you roll the R's, there's something sexy there. All right, so you joined us here on Reinvention Radio. You're going to talk about reinventing decisive action and all of that fun stuff, correct? That's
if we get to it, yeah.
I think we will get to it. That is absolutely
we'll have to
the
make
plan.
A decision to try to
we'll
do
have to
that.
Make a decision.
Be decisive.
Be decisive in our decision to talk about deciding if we're going to talk about decisive action. So that it will be the plan. All right, so we have made a decisive. Do we have to vote? When you take a decisive action, do you have to vote, or how does that work?
No, you don't vote.
Let's have him do step one so we can start to make this decision.
So we can see if that would be great. All right, so you came here from Israel in what year? How long have you been here?
That was 1998, so that'll make it 18 years.
18 years, okay. Yeah. And when you came here, because in Israel, they require you to learn English, correct?
They do.
So English is actually taught in the schools from the time you're very young. So you speak Hebrew, you speak English, you speak other languages as well?
Counting curses, yeah.
And in Israel, you have to do mandatory military service, correct?
So, yes, you do.
So is that for women also?
Yep.
It is.
Really?
Wow.
Two years? How many years?
Yep.
2 years.
And so
three for men, two for women.
Two for women and three for men. And you go in at 18? Roughly?
So, yep. You finish school after senior year. You're being drafted. It could be July. It could be November.
Gotcha.
But they get you no matter what.
And literally, like, they send you and you do the Krav Maga. They shoot the guns. You learn how to fight. You do the whole nine.
You might need it.
Did you do your 3 years and then get out, or did you stay in longer?
I actually got out after 3 years, yes.
You did, yeah. Was that like were there wars going on at that point? Was that there? Because that would have been.
Let's see. Like, yeah, First Lebanon War. There were 1981.
So did you actually?
I wasn't in there, but.
You weren't? Okay.
It was the same time frame.
Gotcha. All right. So for those who don't know you, and again, I'm going to totally butcher your name, so I'm just going to be Mr. B. But Yoram, I'll call you
Yoram.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you do what? You're a personal development coach, but you had a career in high tech and IT, and you help people make all those decisive decisions. And isn't that a little redundant? Decisive decisions? That's a little.
It's a definite possibility.
It's actually decisive action.
And so, take us back through what you were doing and how you got into this line of work.
Oh God, that's a long time back.
I think of George Burns. Do you think of, whenever anybody says, oh God, am I just showing my age here? Do you think of George Burns in the movie? Not at all?
No.
I always think about that. It's like I'm Pavlov. Okay, so, oh God, you were thinking.
We all are, by
yeah.
the way.
So, going way back, you.
Squirrel.
Right. Okay, so talk about kind of what happened then after you came out of the military and how you got here to the States and kind of the work you were doing and how you got into this current line of work.
Okay, so that's your question.
Because
the other one was, how did I get into decisive action?
Yes. So you pick, and then we'll get to the other
one. You pick one of those four.
Okay. Let's see. What was the fifth?
Let's see how good you are at doing this.
You have to make a decisive decision to answer one of the four questions.
So interestingly enough, what happened was that I was sent to learn computer science at a very young age. Mm. Very young. I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And the only problem with that was that nobody asked me. And had they asked me, what would I have said at 9 years old? It was like, yeah, everybody was so happy they found this little genius. Like, go learn computer science. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Wait, we got to put a little context around this. And I just love throwing that word out whenever I can. So context is, that's 1970-ish?
One, two, yeah.
Somewhere in there. So you were nine in 71, 72? Okay.
Yep. So they sent me to learn that. The good news was, I was good. I was okay. I handled it. I learned it. The bad news, computers isn't my thing.
Yeah.
And so I came across, quite by mistake, I came across a personal development seminar back way in the early 80s. And I was sitting there and, you know, I was like, I think I know what I need to do, except it was a little bit too late, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I had a career, I had a degree, I had a channel to run in, I had my whole future laid in front of me. And the fact that I didn't want to do it, you know how you have this internal conversation, you know?
Yes, I do.
on the one hand, it's like, I want to do something else. And then the other hand, it's like, well, how are you going to make a living doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And so call it stuck, you know, reinvention. It's a lot about being stuck and getting unstuck. And I was stuck for about 20-some years. And after 20-some years, more like 30 probably, I finally made a decision. So while I kind of did this compromise, this horrible compromise that go, okay, well, I'm going to do high-tech and computers for a living, mm-hmm. and I'm going to do personal development and coaching as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
I started teaching as far back as 1989, and I kept doing it until somebody actually cornered me and said, well, when are you going to grow up? What do you want to do? Choose. You know, you got it. Well, you know, it's 2010. Yeah, I know I got it. And that was the point in time when I jumped ship from mm-hmm. high tech and left, sold my company, and I had a company that was doing IT services and computer networks, and I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold it and decided to do that. And decisive action seemed to be what made sense, because after 28 years of being stuck, I was kind of done with that, and mm-hmm. I was kind of done with letting other people stay stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So I made that my focus.
I like that. I mean, if you're going to listen to someone that was stuck for 30 years and then finally got unstuck, that's a mm-hmm. good person to learn how mm-hmm. to get unstuck from.
Yeah.
But you had actually developed a business. You were an entrepreneur. You were in this IT world. So you had your own company. Put a little, like, give us an understanding. What was that, a big company? Was it you and a buddy? I mean, what are we talking about here?
I was thrown like a pinball, so to speak, among all sorts of things. So I was employee. I had my own company. I was self-employed. I worked for Fortune 100 companies, my own company. I lost my last job the week before September 11th.
You lost your last job. Okay.
And September 12th, the CTIA show was in town. I meet some friends of mine. They go, well, you know, nobody's going to hire for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was the beam of light. She kind of goes, well, you keep talking about all this entrepreneur stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to use other
shizzle
words.
Stick.
Yeah. Why don't you put your money where your mouth is? And I go, okay, well, I started to look around. I said, Everybody's losing their IT people. I know how to do IT. Let's do IT.
Yeah.
So I was an entrepreneur. I was an entrepreneur both in personal development and in IT. And I did all sorts of things wherever life took me.
And so this was in Israel that you started the business, or this was here?
No, that was here.
That was here. Mm-hmm. And so when you say you sold the company, because I often have sort of this belief that the people who find themselves in that moment of truth, if you will, where they're like, you know, I've done this and that was all well and good, but now I want to do something that's more personally fulfilling, they have the luxury of being able to do that because it's like, it's not about the money. Well, of course it's not about the money when you actually have the money. And it seems like a lot of folks who, like, I have a friend who was a dentist, and she did really well. She actually had a number of practices, and it wasn't exactly the most fulfilling work for her per se, but it paid her really well. She got to the point where she bought a couple of other practices, and she owned the real estate, and she had 5 or 6 very profitable practices. And then she woke up one day and said, you know what? Yeah, I don't really want to be standing over teeth. I don't really want to have others standing over teeth. And I'm going to sell, and I'm going to get out of this thing. And then I'm going to share, you know, my brilliance and this, that, and the other, and get into more of this personal development stuff that makes me more happy. And of course, she then had the money to do so. So let's talk about that transition and more with your arm here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Alrighty, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Mary Valera Tote, Steve Ulcher, hanging out with Yoram.
Faster.
So, no, slower. No, not like that.
All right, so before the break, we were just talking about that
the
transition.
Dentist.
Right, exactly. And a lot of people who I have found in this sort of line of personal development work get into that work after they have had success financially in other areas and feel like they need to shift from what I call prominence, where they've been, you know, sort of prominent on the map, to relevance, where they shift to thinking a lot more about legacy. So would you say that was kind of where you were at, shifting from prominence to relevance, that golden shift, if you will? I mean, you had the financial wherewithal then to do that, yeah? Or did you just sell, you had nothing really, and you started from scratch?
Frankly, I sold the company because of the clients.
Mm-hmm.
We managed to have a small company with a small number of clients that were paying very nicely. And we had such great relationships. They all became friends. And I wasn't just going to tell them, hey, I'm closing the doors, going to do whatever I like to do.
Sure.
So I looked for a good home for them.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the sale of the company gave us a little bit more of a financial infrastructure and foundation. And so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
The point being is that I kept playing with it and I kept playing with it. And I kind of believe that you get hints in life. The first hint is with a feather. Mm-hmm. And if you're not listening, there's a 2x4 and then there's a Mack truck.
Mm-hmm.
And so every once in a while, my life got thrown into a chaos where the answer had been, well, I need to do this. I need mm-hmm. to do that line of work. And I wasn't in the mood to find out what the Mack truck looks like.
Mm-hmm. Do you, Let me ask you this. I mean, so from my understanding, I've never actually been to my homeland. I should probably go there at some point. I might be enlightened and come back a new man. Or
please
come back exactly the same. but do you believe...
Or go to the army.
Right, or that. So you, as a... I mean, I assume you were a religious man. Yes, a man...
To a degree.
To a degree. Do you believe that... And Mary, maybe you can give me your take on this, because I know you're a little more religious than I think most of us here at the table.
Combined.
At least the... Yeah, probably. do you think that there is sort of a God, if you will, that has a plan for all of us? I mean, is that even, like... possible? Because you talk about like these, I mean,
yes.
Think about how many feathers there have to be out there for everybody to be, you know, kind of tickled with that feather, and then the 2x4s and then the Mack truck. I mean, that's a lot of planning by somebody out there to make sure we all get that. No?
Yes.
What do you think?
We'll let Yoram answer the question first.
Okay. What do you think?
Because Mary answered it twice by now. the answer is yes. And here, look, have you ever been on a water slide?
Yes, I have.
Is there any point in arguing with it?
I have never... Rich, have you ever argued with the water slide? I don't think I've ever argued with the water slide.
That sounds like a Rich thing.
I've screamed a lot on the way through it. Yeah, but now...
No, I love water slides.
Yeah, here's the deal. If it wants to take you left, it'll take you left.
That's
you
true.
Can try and control it as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take you left. It'll take you wherever it wants. And at the end, we're all in the pool.
Mm.
And life is kind of like that,
mm-hmm.
you know. If God wants to take you left, it'll take you left. And
no matter,
it's
not a matter of if; it's just a matter of when you give in and go.
And are you going to enjoy the ride or mm-hmm. resist it every bit of the way? So I resisted it for 20 some years. You know, enough.
So, in terms of sort of making this decisive action, if you will, and making a decision to do something, how do you think people can eliminate some of that resistance?
They need to listen more.
So specifically to Reinvention Radio, they need to listen more to Reinvention Radio. Is that?
Yeah, okay, that do.
I want to make sure we get the nice sound bite here out of Yorn, because Yorn doesn't do a lot of interviews. So, by the way,
listen to Reinvention Radio.
Wade, you got that? Wade, thumbs up. All right, we're all good on that. Thank you, Yorn.
Timestamp that.
You don't do a lot of interviews. So someone kind of said, hey, this is a show you might want to do. So that was that. I call it a yay-no moment. A yay-no moment is like a fancy way of saying yes-no, right? It's like we are all faced with those moments of truth, that yay-no moment. Yay-no moments happen every single moment of every single day. Rich had that yay-no moment this morning. He was like, do I really want to fucking go back to Reinvention Radio? That was a yes-no, yay-no moment right there. Mary, you've had that for 18 months with me. Those yay-no moments every single... So decisive action. I think it kind of plays into that a little bit. Is that a matter then of looking at what your options are, and how do you go through that process of making the right decision, or as I call it, you know, choosing the right path on the yay-no moment?
Well, the first thing to understand is that every time you need to make a decision, you're stuck. Because if you didn't need to make a decision, you wouldn't be stuck. Okay, so there's big stuck and small stuck. And if you're small stuck and it's a, do I go press the second floor, the third floor? I think it's the second floor because that's what the email said.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's a small stuck. But if it's a big stuck, the problem is that when we get to these points, we don't want to take responsibility for making the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Remember 3 years ago, the sequester fiasco and air traffic control being shut down for 2 weeks because these...
Was it a strike? Was it the air traffic controller strike?
No, it was. There wasn't a federal budget, and they were struggling on the Hill to pass the federal strike. Well, you know, they all knew 2 weeks in advance what they're going to decide at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just, whatever, haggling for whatever they're going to get for their vote, which was predetermined. And meanwhile, tens of thousands of people are stranded in airports because air traffic control doesn't have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we are kind of like that. We wait and we wait and we wait. And we kind of, if we just stop and listen, you know all about it, then we have the answer. So a decisive action is not, it's not choosing between options. It is more or less just conforming to what you already know the answer is.
Mm. Amen.
Oh,
thank you.
Mary, you like that one. All these years, I don't think I've ever heard the same thing anyone's ever said. Wow.
Well, because what is my thing about confusion? You're not confused. You just don't like your options. You know what to do.
Mm.
Amen to that.
Oh, see?
Wow. Rich, I think we should leave. They got like high fives going around here, jumping over the table and hugging. Man, all right. We'll leave you two alone.
So,
that trumps a good question.
Hey.
Oh, boy. So the big stuck,
mm-hmm.
I think, happens when someone's moving from, let's call it the corporate realm, the secure paycheck. They're ingrained in it. They don't want to be in it, but they don't know how to bridge to doing something entrepreneurial. But have you found that once they do make the change, it's much easier to become a serial entrepreneur because you see more opportunity and possibility and creativity?
I can see what you're saying, and I agree with that to a degree. Just I'm kind of bear in mind that a lot of these entrepreneurs, they're creating corporations. So
what's the difference?
Startups. How many startups? I mean, in a 5-mile radius from here, you're going to find hundreds of startups, and they're all corporations. They all have employees. The CEO is an employee. They own it. They don't own it. They bring in venture capitals, and they totally don't own it anymore because mm-hmm. the venture capitals manage their board. And so it's not necessarily the entrepreneurship, it's leaving the employment kind of mindset that is the big jump. Because as you are, the employment mindset is where you're coming into work, you're being told what to do, you do it, you don't do it, you do it well, you do it poorly, mm-hmm. doesn't matter, but you go home, you get a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most dangerous position of all.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you have one client and one client who's, could be unhappy. And, you know, the way I describe it is, you know, my boss, my last boss was by my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he needed to call me in and go, hey, man, I love you, but I'm going to screw up your life today.
Mm. That's a great way to fire somebody. Now, see, I think that's, mm-hmm. I love you, but I'm going to screw up your life today.
And isn't that exactly what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of those God things, wasn't it? Perhaps?
Move
in that direction?
You know, that's when I got a kick in the butt. And then there was... And then it was September 11th. And then I started the IT services company, which was, in a way, a
But you had no love
catalyst.
For that. I mean, that was like moving from one job to giving yourself another job.
Well, I had to try a lot of new things when I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to create my own sales. I had to learn. You know, it's a new thing. I started. I played around.
So you've been at this game for a while. What would you say is that one thing that you like really love?
Personal development.
What does that mean? Like, what does that look like?
What I do is I love taking a person and bridging the gap between their current level of success and a much higher level of success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, like this show is at a certain level of success. And if we want to take it to another level of success, and this is applicable, obviously, for anyone with any sort of company or anything that they're in, like what's that process? And at this moment in time, like the 60-second process, and then we'll get a little bit deeper.
Then you just need to pay me the small amount of money.
Good.
Look, you know what? I know very little about your show, but you know where it needs to go if it wanted to be really big. If mm-hmm. you wanted it to be really big, what's the next step for you?
Mm-hmm. So that's a really good. I like this
talent.
So.
That was a question.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing is you don't – so I get it. So to be an effective coach or consultant, it's not necessarily about providing the answers. It's about making sure that you're asking your client the right questions.
Maybe even great questions.
See, I like that. And the answer is I don't know. We're going to have a Reinvention Radio board meeting, and we'll see if we can
save
figure out.
Save by the music.
Save by the music. But we'll have to figure out what what we need to do. But thank you for that, and it's definitely something to think about. All right, we're talking to Yoram B. here, and you can check out more information at heyyoram.com, or I'll be right back on Reinvention Radio.
They'll never know.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the Series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All righty, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Hanging out with Richie Ote, Marvelay, White Wade, and Yoram Bolton.
Mr. B.
Mr. B, exactly. All right. And for those who need the spelling of Yoram, because we want to make sure that they can actually get to find out more information about you, it's Hey Yoram, which is Y-O-R-A-M. So Hey Yoram, Y-O. So Hey Yo. That would have been good.
Actually,
I know a guy who started a company named Hey Yo. All right, so let me ask you this, because there's so many different ways to take this, but do you think that people actually know then the answers? You think that they know the answers to what it is that they should
do
in any situation?
Well, that's what causes a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, if
but what about the gut? Like, you go with the gut, right?
Yeah.
So go with your gut. But what about sort of the gut versus what's factual, right? Because sometimes the gut will tell you one thing, but what's factual will be something completely different.
Yeah, what do you mean by
factual?
What is factual?
Pluto was a planet.
All right, so how about this? So like, you've been married, you're married. I mean, the whole night. I mean, like, in any relationship, there's going to come that point in time where you go, I might be happier elsewhere. Right? Like, maybe it's just time to end this.
Maybe.
Well, exactly. So, like, maybe it's time to end this. Maybe there is someone out there I would be happier with. And so, what's, like, if you know the answer, then obviously you, well, in some, most cases, or not, I guess that's not true. In 50% of the cases, you decide you're right. I might be happier elsewhere. In 50%, you just decide to stay. I'm just trying to get my arms around, like, gut versus reality.
We're trying to get around the question.
Well, yeah, so it's your ego, your emotion. Yes, please, Wade. Save the ship.
I'm terrified of that dog, but it's not attacking me.
Mm.
But because I got bit by dogs in the past, I'm terrified of that dog.
Yeah, but that dog might not bite you.
Right. But the fact is, the dog's not attacking me.
That's like having a woman in your life, and you had girlfriends in the past, and you blame the current girlfriend, you blame your wife for whatever with your girlfriends in the past, and like she's guilty of crimes that she didn't commit. Does that? I think I'm venting here.
Yeah, it does.
You're telling on yourself.
I was going to ask you, where is the decision to be made?
So, how do people know? You know what? Because I often say, like, I have these things where, like, I see something coming or whatever it might be, and I just chalk it up and go, no, that's a fear. Like, that's not reality. That's just what I'm afraid might happen.
In which case, are you in the present or in the future?
Does anyone actually ever live in the present?
Do you have any choice?
We are forced to here.
I don't think we're fast enough to live in the present. Like, by the time you try grabbing the present, it's the past. And you try creating the future, and then it's like, you can't manipulate what happens.
We're only in the present. But we usually draw from the past and project it on the future.
Exactly.
There you go.
Right.
But we are only in the present.
You're only in the present.
So most people don't create new realities. Most people base their realities on that dog who they say, okay, well, there was a dog in the past who bit me, and so they look at that dog now, and they don't give that dog the opportunity to just be a dog instead of, like, you know, in a...
Unless they stop.
Unless
just,
they...
Unless they just stop.
Stop.
The rant.
Yeah.
Right? So if they stop ranting about the past, projecting it into the future, forcing this dog to be aggressive, and they just stop, look at the dog, and figure out what is that dog doing right now, then they have a chance to relate to the dog in real time, being present with it.
So as the jaws are about to grab onto the leg, at what point do you kind of chalk it up and you say, this dog is actually going to bite me? Like, from experience, I know that if the jaws are here and the teeth are there, that it's going to bite me. And you have to demand, you make a choice. You got to do something about that.
Well, there you go.
Run.
So just so I'm clear, there is a career for me in helping people without helping people. So people hire you and you sit there and you go, so tell me. And then, like, this is what...
No, not necessarily.
So what would a session be with you be like?
What I teach them is what I call the decisive action protocol. And the decisive action protocol is a way to make quality decisions.
Okay.
Make quality decisions in fast. Sometimes your decision would be to sit with it, but not forever.
So are there steps also, to that process?
Yeah, of course there's steps to that.
So, like, what's step one?
Step one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, tell me who you are.
That's step one. You ask me a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Let's see. It's like a lawyer
but
with
actually,
soul.
I'm not even going to go there.
But there's a process. So you this DAP process, and I think DAP is a great. You remember giving people DAP? Like, was that a thing here in California? Giving people DAP? Yeah, that was okay. You know
dabbing?
What DAP is? No, dabbing's like the arm thing.
I know exactly what DAP is. It's the decisive action protocol.
So it's a protocol. So a protocol means that there's a set way then of getting to a particular result. A protocol by definition,
right?
So what is that way of getting to that result?
Let me put you in another situation, life and death.
Try Rich. Okay? Let's do Rich.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who.
Okay.
Right? You take a bunch of Marines or the Navy SEALs or something, right? So now it's life and death. So you throw them into a situation, it's life and death. They need to make a decision. Right decision, you live. Wrong decision, you die.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how do they make decisions? So many, many times their decisions are based on their protocol. It's based on their training, and it's based on their code of honor.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision could be – their code of honor says –
But that protocol
sure,
is based on the past, right? I mean
– No, they just – they have missions, right? He's talking about like an elite team. They have to have their protocol.
They have to have the rules of engagement of how they show up in life and in battle. Within life. So if their code says we're not going to leave a teammate in trouble, they're going to bow back to the fire to fetch a body of a fallen comrade, wouldn't they?
Their protocol is specifically team equipment, team needs,
mission
personal
first.
Equipment, personal needs. So if you get dropped off the helicopter and you got 2 miles to go on your raft and someone forgot the raft,
Well, what if your code is... What if your code is I finish what I start? What if your code is I put family first?
So you help people create their own individual
code
or protocol.
Right. And when you know who you are, when you know what you stand for, when you know what your rules are, your code is, the code's purpose is to save you from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Now you can
point at me for.
Well, no, it's like what I said.
I need saving.
This was my comment from the other week. Locks keep honest people honest. The code just keeps you protecting yourself. The lock, the crook's going to get into the lock regardless.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that momentary lapse. It gives you something, you know, to put it up against.
Because we come out with the craziest ideas, but a code would keep us honest. True to our values and how we want to conduct the business of life, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you do that and you throw that into the question, well, do I need to get a divorce?
Mm.
then it's no longer a matter of what you feel that you're going to be happier. And, you know, if that happens 2 minutes after you see that gorgeous other person, then you might say, I think I will be happier.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And or the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a code and you put that in front of you,
mm-hmm.
you know who you are, and you consult your heart and you consult your gut, and, you know, I mean, Mary knows all about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the answer is going to be, really, you're going to say, that's a good idea. I'll do it.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we got to, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap here, and really appreciate you dropping in. And if people want more information about you, they go to Hey Yoram. And again, that's HeyYoram.com. So HeyYoram.com. Very cool having you in. I know you don't do very many interviews, so thanks for gracing us with your presence here.
My
on Reinvention
pleasure.
Radio. Mary Goulet, Rich Otey, Steve Olsher, White Way, Kelly Poker. And for those who have been rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the podcast edition, we really appreciate you. And we will talk to you guys next time on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.